Good morning and welcome once again to this edition of Talkie Money. This is Certified Financial Planner Mike Miller, your host for this 55 minutes or so. We're glad you're with us. For those of you who are new listeners to Talkie Money, we've been at it for about 9.5 years and enjoying just about every minute of it. And glad you're with us today. For those of you who are new, we are sponsored by Plan First. It's a company that I helped start over 30 years ago. It's a fee-only, true fee-only, not fee-based. A fee-only doesn't sell any products, financial planning and investment advisory firm. So this program is really the result of all the many years of doing real financial planning with real client situations that we deal with virtually every day. And so we're able to try to pass along, want to be able to pass along that information to you and that experience that not just myself, but those others at the firm. We've got a nice size firm. You can go to planfirst.com. Check us out. We've got a lot of great talent, a lot of education and a lot of experience in the firm. And our clients have access to all the talent in the firm. So since we are not individual silos, we're not individual representatives like the big firms are. Everybody works as a team, true team, and we try to pull the skill sets from different advisors in a particular situation to make sure we're giving the best information we can for each client situation. So if you want to check us out sometime, it's 800-588-7526. That's the number for Plan First. That's the number, not the number to call today. Today we're going to be talking about a subject that can get rather touchy sometimes, and another meddling subject, I think, because it's something that people don't want to admit often. And I've been talking about in the promos this week, and that is financial enabling. And also the enabler and the one who is being enabled, there's issues with both sides of that. And I think it's I see it more and more. I've had a couple of issues in the last couple of weeks that really reminded me how prevalent and how growing this problem is. So I felt like we need to deal with it, and we need to try to give some suggestions on how to get out of that seemingly never-ending cycle that goes on with people who are being in adult children primarily we're talking about. But there's other circumstances as well that we want to make sure you get out of that. I do want to remind everyone, though, before we get into that subject, about next week's Talking Money Live. We'll be live next week at the TD Convention Center. So I think they must have about the whole convention center reserved. This is for the Child Evangelism Fellowship or Good News Club's big event that they want to do, the spectacular event they're calling it. And it starts at 10 o'clock. So we'll be doing Talking Money Live beginning right when this event starts at 10 o'clock. And then they have a lot of different games. We'll have the inflatables, games, popcorn, snow cones, and all of it's free. How nice is that? Well, one of the reasons it's free, because everyone knows there's no free lunch. Companies like Plan First, our company, has helped sponsor this event. We think it's a great way to get the community together and also to get the, not just the children, but the adult, the parents of the children exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it's not going to be in your face. It'll be a low-key presentation, but it'll definitely be there, and it's going to be fun for the whole family, primarily geared toward elementary school children. But you may have elementary school children. You may have elementary school grandchildren. What a great outing for you to take them over to TD Convention Center. You don't have to go from 10 to 3. It lasts from 10 to 3. And they repeat the shows every hour or so, hour and a half. And so you'll have there's a ventriloquist. The Brown Family Ministries is going to be providing some music. The Spin Man, he does some, what I understand, some fantastic things with a basketball. And then we have an illusionist, Keith Vincent, an illusionist, and Randy Mellett doesn't say his name, but I know who he is, the Critter Keeper. This guy used to be with Orkin and just knew everything there was to know about bugs, and he actually is one of those strange people that collects them and knows what they each do, which ones are bad, and just some fascinating information. You wouldn't think of that being interesting, but it's pretty interesting, especially Randy. He's kind of a crazy guy, so he's a fun way of presenting that particular topic. So I look forward to it. I hope you'll come, and we're looking forward to doing our Talking Money here live at the TD Convention Center next week. If you want more information, you can go to you can just log on to the CE Greenville. I think it's cegreenville.org. If you just Google Child Evangelism or CE Greenville, you'll find the website, and it's got a page or two with information about this particular event that's going on next week from 10 to 3 o'clock. I hope you will join me as we have a great time with the all the different activities they have going on there. So it's great fun. So we hope, let's see, they also have face painting, free eye screening. I'm sure how that fits in, but then some not so fun stuff, glucose and blood pressure screening. So I guess you want to get that before you hit the snow cones and popcorn. Maybe you'll have a better reading there. So fingerprinting, free child identification fingerprinting, free photo booth. It says a 9-foot cowboy. So we got a cowboy on stilts there, clowns, mascots, all kind of fun stuff. So I think it'd be a great event for the whole family. So plan on coming sometime between 10 and 3 next Saturday. So a week from today, May 21st at the TD Convention Center. A lot of things going on next weekend, but I don't think there's anything going on that's this specific to children, elementary school children. They'll like this better than some of the other things that are going on. So head down there to the TD Convention Center next Saturday for that. So today we are wanting to talk about this financial enabling. There was an article in the FPA Journal, Financial Planning, Journal of Financial Planning, last month, or actually March, and I saved it. It was written by Dr. Bradley Klontz. He's a psychologist and also a certified financial planner, and Anthony Canale, who's also a certified financial planner. And they had done some studies on this particular topic and have some really good thoughts about what goes on in behind the scenes and what is actually helping versus what is hurting the adult child. So what's happened in the last couple of weeks, a couple of illustrations, and I really hope that hearing these illustrations will jog your memory and maybe some of you a current situation that I'd like to hear from you about. I'd like to hear your stories of what's been going on in your life with your adult children, maybe with a spouse, maybe with even younger children, but primarily adult children, and maybe with a spouse, with a child who maybe you're continuing to support, don't feel like you should. Maybe one spouse does, one spouse doesn't, or you both don't want to keep doing it, and maybe you both do want to keep doing it, and you really realize that you shouldn't, but you feel obligated to and don't feel there's a way out of that situation. I would like to hear about that, or maybe you were involved in that situation. I'd love to hear from someone who was being enabled and then finally got cut off, and because of that we want to know what happened. And I typically the result of that is positive. You might go through some tough times for a while, but generally the whole attitude, look out on life, everything gets better when you're doing things on your own as opposed to just being fed all the time by yourself. This, the same thing applies to welfare. I mean, if you don't have checks and balances there and you're giving money, to people who are not trying to do their own, support, they're not working, they're not even trying really, they're just playing the system, that's not good. Well, I had a client that was just in yesterday, and this client has, a couple of sisters and they're married. And both spouses, both husbands in this case, especially one that, this particular client, their husband, is retired, but he didn't have, any compunction to continue to work. So I think he gets a small retirement. So he basically works out several times a week and goes out to eat, but doesn't do anything around the house. So he doesn't fix meals around the house, doesn't help clean, doesn't help do anything. And that's one of the hardest situations to be in because it's a spouse. But, and this particular client just doesn't want them to know that she does have a little money because she's afraid they will keep asking her for more money. And so the best thing to do is make sure they don't know. As far as they know, she doesn't have hardly anything. So it's, one of those situations that even can come between spouses that you have to be so careful about. Another situation, a couple of weeks ago, a prospective client, not a radio listener, maybe she is now, but that's not why she came in. Another client referred her to us, but her husband's ill, and one of the things he's ill with is dementia, the beginnings of dementia. So she's got that to deal with, where this particular husband, she's actually caught him, you know, getting mailers that are asking for money, and he'll be calling and sending money to these people, and it's because of his dementia he's doing it. He wouldn't normally do this under normal circumstances if he didn't have this particular illness, but he does. And so it's a concern that he's getting this mail. When he's thinking clearly, he understands I shouldn't be doing this, but he does it. Well, what complicates this one even further is there are two daughters, and these two daughters, it's not always sons. A lot of times it's the sons that are the ones who are lazy and not doing anything. But these are two daughters, and they are living in two of the homes that this particular person has. So one of them they actually built for the one daughter, and she's working hard and she's got several jobs and trying and so forth. And the other child is not, but there's a little quirk in this situation. This child has a child. So now I have a grandchild involved in the situation. Changes the circumstances, changes the thought process completely. What do you do in that case? All right, when we get back from a break, we're going to continue this situation and say, okay, what exactly is going on? And then we're going to get into this article with some studies that were done by Dr. Klontz and try to keep it all in perspective. But I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. 877-235-9405 is our Plan First text line. Plan First text line, but it comes to the studio. I'm live here, so we'll be able to pick those up, or a phone call. The phone call is the same number, 877-235-9405. We'll be back with your comments in just a couple of minutes. Thanks to all of you for listening to Talking Money. It is my hope that the information I provide is practical and useful, whether or not you ever consider using Plan First as your personal financial planning and investment advisory firm. However, I know that some of you would like to find out more about Plan First. How do we help clients? Who is on the Plan First team? What are their credentials? Experience? Let me suggest a way to start. If you want to learn more, simply log on to our website at planfirst.com. You will find information about our process, read about our advisors and the other team members, including pictures. You can even retrieve and listen to previous radio programs. If you want to learn even more, call Plan First and set up a time to speak with me on the phone. We will spend a few minutes discussing your situation, and together we'll decide if a personal visit makes sense. The phone number for Plan First is 233-7405, or if you are out of the Greenville area, 1-800-588-7526. Welcome back to Talking Money. We're coming up in about 20 minutes after the hour. We're so glad you're with us. Talking about a financially touchy subject today, financially enabling people and those who are being enabled both. I do want to clarify, though, my wife texted me to correct, to make sure I give you the right information on this Child Evangelism Fellowship spectacular this next week. Their website's actually Child Evangelism Fellowship, cefgreenville.com. So you can go there and get more information about the huge event that's coming up this coming Saturday, week from today, from 10 to 3 o'clock. I hope you'll see us there as we do Talking Money live next week. Had a caller that didn't want to be on the air, but asked a question about retirement, sources for retirement planning. Mentioned this last week. Of course, our website has a lot of great information about financial planning, retirement planning, and so forth. You go to planfirst.com. You can go to the Talking Money section and also the resource section and get more, or the blog section, I think we call it now. But there's a lot of blogs, Q&As that will give you information. You can also go to manageyourmoney.com. That's the website that was put together by Ron Blue. It has a compilation of some of the things that he's been using over the years to help educate people about financial planning, retirement planning, and so forth. So a lot of great resources there, including his book, Manage Your Money. You can also, if you want to get into some more planning work on this, and really this really relates some to financial enabling, and I'll get to why that is soon. But if you will go to the TRoePrice.com, and Roe is spelled R-O-W-E, TRoePrice.com, you can go to the retirement section, and they have a retirement income calculator. And that's where you can input your data, your personal information, how much money you're making, how much you're saving, what your assets are, put rate of returns and so forth in there, and it'll give you a projection on how you look. It's not as sophisticated, certainly not as much detail as we go into at Plan First for our clients, but it's a good start. Give you a good overview, let you at least know whether you're in the right ballpark for your retirement and making it. So how does that really relate to what we're talking about. If someone enables and they're giving money to an adult child, even too much to a minor child, then without regard to how that's affecting their own retirement plan. So we have an actual client who's been a client for probably, I'm going to say 10 years, something like that. And when he started with us, he had well over $1 million. And unfortunately, he has a situation. He doesn't live around here, so he's not within earshot of this radio show. He lives up in Tennessee, so he can't hear this, but he has one of his children is a son who's out in California, has been out there for years trying to find himself, trying to get into the acting business. So I think he's working some as a waiter and like a lot of them do, but he still hasn't been able to get into that business. So, you know, mom especially in this case, feel real sorry for him. And so don't want him just hanging out there, but wanted to chase his dreams. And they keep supporting him. And so over this period of time, it's dwindled from over $1 million to about $200,000. In spite of warnings, there's only so much we can do. We can warn. We can write letters to our clients, the few that are in this situation where they are spending too much money, not just for their children, but they're spending too much money, and warn them that this is going to end. Eventually, the money's going to run out. But even then, sometimes that does not help, because the person thinks, no, I can't help it. I've got to give this money to the child. I've got to maintain this one lifestyle. It may not even include and be the fault of a child that's financially dependent on them. But it certainly can affect your financial plan. And I think one thing that can help with a couple who's going through this, and there's disagreement there on what and how much you should do for a child, is to make sure you do this retirement plan. Go to T. Rowe Price and do a retirement income analysis. Work with somebody like Plan First that can do a detailed analysis for you and say, based on this spending pattern, this is when your money is projected to run out. Understand there's a lot of assumptions there, but it still gives you a better idea. Wow, okay, if I keep doing this, my whole investments are going to cliff in 12 years or 5 years or 20 years, and I'm only 60. So I want to make sure the money lasts longer than that. So it's one way to have a reality check, is that you actually do some of this planning. That's where financial planning can really help, when you have disagreements between spouses on where we should spend, how much we should spend. Put those numbers in writing, and I think that will help you a lot. So the title of an article that Dr. Klontz wrote, it's called When Helping Hurts. So he's given recommendations for financial planners, because it's in a financial planning magazine, on how to deal with or help counsel financial enabling clients. Will he start? Let me give you the number once again, because I do want to get your text or comments about these particular situations, especially if you have one that you can share with us. And please be candid. We don't know who you are, and nobody's going to recognize your voice. You think they might, but don't worry about that. And we won't, first name's all we're going to get. You can use somebody else's first name if you want to. That's okay. I don't mind that at all. If it'll help you feel better about calling in. But 877-235-9405 is our text number, or our phone line, 877-235-9405. So he starts this article off, this study out, with a statement. He says, in January 2015, so this is a real story, in January 2015, just a little over a year ago, Thomas Gilbert Jr. was accused of killing his father. The 30-year-old Ivy League educated son of a multimillionaire hedge fund manager allegedly shot and killed his father over a money dispute. Is this the theme to some Hollywood drama? Unfortunately, it is all too real for the Gilbert family. Various news sources at the time reported that Thomas Gilbert Jr. was receiving a $3,000 monthly allowance for rent and living expenses. But Tom Sr. decided to cut that amount by $200 per month. That reduction in allowance may have led to Gilbert Jr.'s ire. Well, I think, okay, that might have, $200 doesn't seem like enough to shoot somebody on. There were probably some other things going on, and Thomas Gilbert Jr. was probably asking for other funds that he was not being given by his dad, and maybe his dad was just like, enough is enough. I don't know the whole story about this, but you can surmise some of this stuff, but it certainly would be a reason for some people. That's all it takes for some people to do things like that. So later in the article, while it is easy to raise an eyebrow in disdain regarding a child taking advantage of his aging parents, for every financially dependent child, there is an equally responsible financially enabling parent. Enabling financially dependent adult children is a dynamic observed by many financial planners, us included. It is not uncommon for planners to witness one or more of their clients burn through their retirement savings in an effort to support able-bodied adult children fund a lavish, lazy, or irresponsible lifestyle. And what we've seen is not so much some they're supporting a lavish lifestyle that maybe what Thomas Gilbert was used to, and $3,000 a month is not going to give him a lavish lifestyle, but it certainly keep him from worrying about maybe he's living at home, maybe he's living in one of his dad's apartments or guest houses. So the $3,000 was just gravy money for him. But more we see it lazy and or irresponsible. Those lifestyles we see too often, and that's a problem. So he says the giving of money is always done with the intention to help, but it can be quite damaging. At its worst, financial enabling can feed a gambling disorder, drug habit, or a life of motivation while destroying the financial plans of the financial enabler. Something I mentioned just earlier that's actually happened with some people that we know tried to help. And just only so much you can do with that. So he gives the five different things that he thinks can help people get out of this particular funk that they may be in. The number one thing he says is recognize that financial help can actually hurt. It may come as a surprise to know that many financial enablers do not recognize that their financial enabling is the cause and fuel for the financial dependence and related problems of their adult children. Instead, they can get lost in the details of the circumstances around the latest financial request, often believing that this is the last time they will help and losing sight of the bigger picture. Does that not happen a lot? This is the last time. I'm not going to help you anymore. I think this is the last time. The child says, this is the last time I'm going to ask. This is all I need, and I'm done. It'll get me past this particular hurdle, this particular problem that I'm in, but I won't ask for any more after that. But you can guess what happens typically in too many situations. So when we get back from the break, we're going to unpack this a little bit better, recognize that the financial help can actually hurt, and understand that the curse of too many options, what's that all about? Too many options for the person who's getting the money makes them tend to be lazier and choose the things that aren't necessarily the best for them because they're not working, so they don't have their time is not taken up with work. Interesting, some thoughts we have to share with you when we get back. More of Talking Money in just a little bit. Plan First is a fee-only registered investment advisory and financial planning firm. This is Mike Miller. So what exactly do I mean by fee-only, and how does that benefit our clients? Plan First makes no commission, none whatsoever, for any investment we buy or sell for our clients. We feel this puts us on the same side of the table, so to speak, with our clients. We don't sell insurance, but we will help you determine if you need long-term care insurance or make changes in your life insurance contracts. The advisors of Plan First don't have any reason to have their own or some other hidden agenda. The only reason we make a trade for a client is when, as a fiduciary, we believe it is in the best interest of our clients. The Plan First investment team monitors the portfolios and makes the changes in investments we feel are most appropriate for each client. As part of that process, we want to always be sensitive to each client's risk tolerance, their objectives, and those income needs. If you'd like to learn more, please call us at 1-800-588-7526 or get more information about our process and team at planfirst.com.
And we're about 25 minutes before the hour. Gives us about 25 minutes to take your questions or your text. 877-235-9405 is the phone number to get in on the show. We've been talking about financial enabling and how you might be the problem if you're the one giving the money. When I was preparing for the show today, I remember it just came to mind a saying that I was very prominently displayed in one of the classrooms when I went to school at Bob Jones University. Dr. Bob Jones Sr., who founded that, I didn't get a chance to meet him, know him. He died before I came to school there. But it said, don't sacrifice the permanent on the altar of the immediate. Just good basic advice. I'm sure he was thinking about it as it relates to you might do something that feels good, that's really sinning right now, but that could affect your life later. But it certainly applies here too, that people do things now. They think I'm going to take care of this situation. I'm going to give this money, and then thinking that this is the last time I'm going to have to help this child. And then, 2 weeks later, sometimes 2 days later, they're back asking for more money, and there's a whole new set of situations, and you feel sorry for them again. And so, wow, they're going to get kicked out of their house. They're going to get their power cut off. There's all different kind of things that go on there. I really liked people's thoughts on allowances. Do you think starting a child out with an allowance, not having it tied to any kind of chore, just a weekly allowance, like Opie used to get with his quarter, do you think that could be the beginning of enabling? Because you're not tying that to anything in particular. I've got my thoughts on it. You can probably tell just by the way I'm asking the question. I would like your thoughts on that. Maybe you were one that received it, but your parents were good at using that as a teaching tool. I'm afraid it's not used as much of a teaching tool as it could be, but I'm curious how your thoughts on what you think an allowance is, essentially getting something for nothing, how that might help or hinder as a child is growing up. But this article by Dr. Klontz, a psychologist, and Anthony Canale, they're both certified financial planners as well, talking about the five things that they think would help somebody who is in this situation of financially enabling, that the first one was recognizing that financial help can actually hurt, and often believing that it is the last time that you'll need to, that you'll be helping, but losing sight of the big picture. So usually the one who's enabling, the one who's giving the money, it's very difficult for them to recognize that they have this pattern of financial enabling. And that's doing it in their own family. They can see it maybe in somebody else's, but they can't see it in their own. That's where a third party like a financial advisor or a counselor can certainly help recognize that and try to get at least some guidance there. But they don't realize that they're actually causing the harm by not letting this child go through some difficult times. We don't like to see our children go through difficult times. Maybe we went through them, but we forget how much those difficult times helped mold us, shape our character, strengthen our character, and help make us better people. We can go back to the whole welfare system, essentially does it the same thing on a huge scale, is that we want to make sure people don't die of starvation and so forth, but having somebody hurt a little bit, what a big motivation that can be. The rent's coming due, refrigerator's empty, and, there's some motivation to do something to get some money to work. So later on in this section, he talks about whether it is financial independence on welfare, a trust fund, or regular parental contributions, the financial dependent is being enabled. Of course, human beings have a natural tendency to seek pleasure and avoid pain whenever possible. Regardless of how much you love your job, there are days where you have contemplated quitting or taking the day off to head to the beach. Putting personality aside and looking at the issue from a strictly behavioral perspective, why didn't you just quit your job or skip out on work for that day? Most likely it was because it would have caused you more pain to lose your job and diminish your ability to provide for yourself and your family than the pleasure you would have experienced by not showing up at work that day. Money is a powerful reinforcer. When somebody gets money for doing nothing and doing nothing is a problem, the money reinforces the problem behavior. Giving money to a chronically financial dependent individual is akin to giving drink to an alcoholic to relieve him or her of the shakes. So there's a lot of similarities between any kind of dependency, but people often don't look at financial dependency as the problem. And other people look at your family and think, wow, why are your adult son or daughter who's 30 or 35, why are they still living with you and they're not trying to find a job and so forth? I think and this is something that he doesn't cover in this article. I wish he would have, because where it gets sticky, and it was one of the illustrations I was giving you earlier with the lady I was talking to whose husband had dementia, had two daughters, one who is working hard and in the house but not paying any rent for one of the houses they've actually built that for that particular daughter. The other daughter is not working, lazy. So this lady ends up paying her taxes. The only thing she requires that this daughter pay is the taxes and insurance. And guess what? She doesn't even pay that. So obviously there wasn't a line drawn in the sand. But what complicates this matter further, and what he doesn't cover in this article, is there's a grandchild involved. When there's a grandchild involved, all of a sudden now the circumstances change. You don't mind necessarily having your child suffer a little bit, but you don't want the grandchild to suffer as a result of your child's laziness, neglect, or whatever, their lifestyle, whatever it is they're doing. So it makes it even more difficult to handle this. One of the things, and he doesn't say this in the article, but one of the things that I think can be done is that you say, and no child, usually adult child, wants to move back in with mom and dad, but you set up a deadline and you say, okay, by the 3 months from now, pick a time. You need a job. You need to be independent. I'm going to put that house up for sale. When it sells, if you don't have another place and you just have to move back in with me, the child and the parent don't want that to happen. But perhaps in that circumstances, maybe that would be enough incentive for them to say, okay, yes, I've got to get out of here. I've got to do something on my own. And it may hurt. It may hurt for a while. When the closing comes and they're not supposed to be in that house anymore, they've got someplace they've got to go. And hopefully that would be enough incentive for them. So back to the study that he does. He says, when somebody receives money after making a request to a parent for money, this reinforces the behavior of asking. When someone gets money after pleading, throwing a temper tantrum, and they have ways of doing that even as adults, or making threats, receiving the money increases the likelihood of those behaviors reoccurring. Ultimately, it is very difficult, if not impossible, to help someone recover from financial independence, dependence, until the financial enabling stops. It has to stop. And some of you have heard me speak of Jimmy Wayne before. He spoke at the Miracle Hill Banquet a year ago. Has a great story, great book, Walk to Beautiful. And part of his story, his life story, in his experiences with other people who were in similar situations as he was, he would see these other young people making bad decisions. And as he got older, of course, he wanted to help these people. But he says time and again, you can't help somebody that doesn't want to help themselves. So you may have a child that doesn't want to help themselves. They've got to get to the point where they want to help themselves. And sometimes some tough love is what would cause that to happen. Number two point, he says, understand the curse of too many options. This was interesting. The 2012 Journal of Financial Therapy, I didn't even know there was such a thing, Journal of Financial Therapy article, quote, disordered money behaviors, development of the Klontz money behavioral inventory by, of course, the author of this article, Bradley Klontz, and several others. When someone has limited choices with regard to what he or she can do with their time, they can become immobilized. They can become lost in an existential struggle as they contemplate the meaning of life and how best to discover themselves, their ideal career, ideal work environment, ideal living environment. It is not uncommon for a financially dependent adult to pursue multiple degrees in a variety of fields without ever settling on a career. Haven't we all known career students? I mean, it's easier to keep on studying. Mom and dad are more willing to help me get more educated because I'm in school, I'm not being lazy, I'm studying. But the reason they're there is because they don't want to get into the real world and actually have a career. It is not uncommon for the financially dependent adult to move around from job to job, quitting if the job becomes distasteful, or they have a bad exchange with a supervisor or colleague. If someone is compelled to work, they do not have the luxury or curse of spending too much time thinking about their options. They need to take a job quickly and hold on to it when times get tough. As such, they learn to delay gratification and develop skills for dealing with challenging relationships and situations versus missing out on these opportunities for growth by quitting at a moment's notice. Ultimately, for the financial dependent to recover, they need to have fewer choices available to them not more. I remember a situation years and years ago, probably in the first 5-10 years of my career. We had and that was back when I was just selling IRAs and things like that. This particular person that I met had an inheritance. Well, apparently his parents knew the best thing for him to have was a monthly income because he might blow the principal if he had access to that principal. Well, but even the monthly income empowered him so that when he went to a job, if he had these circumstances like I just mentioned in this article, where he just didn't get along with somebody, there was a stressful situation, he would just quit. So he ended up getting multiple jobs, ended up, because of all this, not being able to hold on to a job, ended up, his wife left him. They were separated legally, not legally separated yet, but just separated. The day before, well, let me back up. Once his wife left, he decided to go, thinking he was going to disinherit his spouse. He changed his will to take his wife out of the will, changed beneficiaries of IRAs and so forth. And then the day before they were supposed to go before the judge to get legally separated, he killed himself, started the car and killed himself, carbon monoxide poisoning, thinking that he had disinherited his spouse. Well, he really didn't because of the laws. His spouse was allowed to get the elective share. So she was able to get that. And anyway, of course, he was still married to her. So she was still able to get a portion of that, thinking that he had done that, but not. But it was the money. It was that monthly income that essentially, even though the parents weren't there, they were enabling him even after death to do the wrong things. Okay. So what about this? What about the curse of unstructured free time? Is it really bad? We'll talk about it some more after this next break. If you want to get on the program, now's the time. 877-235-9405. Text your comments or give us a call. 877-235-9405. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
Thank you for listening to the program today. My goal for Talking Money is to answer your questions objectively. As our regular listeners know, Plan First doesn't sell any products. Our clients come to us because we can help them with investment management, retirement planning, tax and estate planning. I think one of the best value-added services we provide is working with a surviving spouse to help them with the estate settlement process. We even help determine if you need long-term care insurance or whether or not they should keep an old life insurance policy. Answering these financial planning questions, it's a real value-added service for our clients because in the vast majority of cases, we don't charge anything extra for the financial planning. The Plan First fee for managing assets is very competitive all by itself, but we think adding these other services definitely sets us apart from other firms. It is largely because of all these services that are included in our annual fee that we have an investment portfolio minimum of $400,000. For more information, call Plan First at 1-800-588-7526 or visit us at planfirst.com.
We have about 10 minutes left in Talking Money, 877-235-9405. Text line, or you can call that number, but you need to call now. We won't have time to read your text or talk to you on the phone. Talking about the curse of unstructured free time. So looking at an article here by Dr. Bradley Klontz. He's a psychologist, also a certified financial planner. And Anthony Canale, who's also a certified financial planner. And they're talking about several things. We're talking about the curse of too many options. We're talking about the curse of really recognizing that financial help can hurt instead of help. And his third point is acknowledging the curse of unstructured free time. So contrary to popular belief, he says, too much free time can be bad for your health. For example, research has shown that instead of feeling happier on vacation and on weekends, as one would expect, people actually feel more listless and depressed. This is according to Mahali. If a name like this, you probably ought to get a stage name, but he spells it C-S-I-K-S-Z-E-N-T-M-I-H-A-L-Y-I. So I'll let you pronounce it, whatever that's worth. And it's the psychology of optimal experience, he says. It was back in 2008. It turns out that free time is actually much more difficult for us to enjoy than work. So jobs have built-in social interaction, goals, challenges, rules, and feedback mechanisms. While we are working, we are often focused and required to use and improve our skills. In contrast, many of us spend our idle time in isolation. Our minds wander and we end up focusing on our problems, which leads us to feelings of uneasiness. So it's easy for us to avoid making the effort required to engage in more challenging activities. Instead, we watch television and movies, read mindless novels, or abuse substances, none of which leave us feeling stimulated or fulfilled. Financial enabling is always associated with a desire to help. So there's good intentions here. So it makes some sense to believe that funding a sabbatical for an adult child to explore his or her options, complete that novel, or travel Europe is a supportive and helpful gift. It's not uncommon for children who have been given these opportunities throughout their development to find it difficult to transition to sustained, gainful employment and financial independence. And of course, that's not going to be the case with everyone, but that's certainly the example. His fourth point, and let's see, we're getting on here. We got still plenty of time here left. And first point, rip off the financial band-aid. So here's how we fix the problem. He says, often the chronic financially dependent person has endured multiple warnings, suggestions, urgings, and even threats that the financial help will come to an end. In many cases, these interactions are not useful because they have not been followed up by behavioral change on the part of the financial enabler. Now, so we cried wolf too many times. Financial dependent individual is convinced that the enabling behavior will continue because you cried wolf, said you weren't going to do it anymore, but you did continue. So cutting off parental financial aid, it can be helpful to develop a plan of actions. In order to do this, you need a plan of action. So he says, set a date at which time the financial aid will be stopped. This could be either a gradual titration of funds or a complete cessation. For many clients who have been financially enabling their adult children for years, a 3 to 6 month timeline for ending financial support may be more palatable than an immediate cutoff. So no cold turkey stuff. Another one, brainstorm other ideas for means of support. This is with a child. When financial support has become disabling or unsustainable, it is important for it to stop. However, that does not mean the parental support needs to end. Alternative ways of providing support could include offering to pay for psychotherapy, career counseling, coaching, or financial planning services. In most cases, it makes sense for the parents to pay the service providers directly. You know, when you've got somebody that's an alcoholic and they ask you for money because they want to buy food, you don't buy them, you don't give them the money, you go buy the food and give them the food. That way you make sure they get it. Same concept applies. Says the next one, develop a support system to keep the plan in place because it can be very difficult to maintain strict financial boundaries when they've been so loose in the past. Often there is an intense emotional toll that is paid in the months after financial support has been stopped. The adult children may increase their demands, impose guilt trips, or even resort to threats during this phase. So you need to have adequate emotional support and encouragement to do that. Another thing he suggests is, of course, going to see a financial counselor. And I'm not familiar with these types of counselors. Apparently there are financial therapists. There's not any in the Greenville area, but there may be some where you are. For having someone, like John Hagen at Grace Harbor Ministries that can deal with the solution, not the symptom of the problem, but the solution. Because I think all these are symptoms of problems. They're not really the problem. They are symptoms of other problems. You need to get to the bottom of that. And John Hagen at Grace Harbor Ministries is a good one, a good place to start with that. He's very good. He has a backlog waiting list and so forth. It takes a little while to get into him, but that I think that just means it's all worth the wait to do that. So toward the end of the article, Dr. Klontz says financial enabling behaviors can have a significant negative impact on a financial plan. It can threaten the financial health of individuals, couples, I think not just financial health, I think your regular health, and families, resulting in delayed retirement, a need to return to work after retirement, or insurmountable debt. So we talk about the markets and people worry about their investments going up and down. They may have to do certain things when actually I think more what you can have more control over and has bigger impact is your spending. And one of the things that people do is they are giving money away and that's affecting their spending far worse than the ups and downs of investments as it goes. Financial dependence can be a debilitating psychological condition that can sap the motivation, creativity, drive and passion of the financial dependent.
the person you're giving the money to. So he says it can be a debilitating psychological condition that can sap motivation, creativity, drive, and passion of the financial dependent. So a lot of things, I think, really to think about. He goes through some signs. How do you recognize the signs of financial dependence? He says feelings of resentment toward money because of the strings attached, a stifling of one's motivation, passion, creativity, and or drive to succeed, fear of being cut off from non-work income, the money you're giving them, someone who has never supported themselves on their own, lack of basic financial knowledge and skills such as balancing a checkbook or reading a bank statement, remaining in a dysfunctional relationship because of a perceived financial necessity, being oblivious to family income, level, net worth, or cash flow, distorted beliefs about money and its ability to solve life's problems and improve self-esteem. In other words, endorsing money worship scripts and or money status scripts. I think this last one is key. Being oblivious to family income level, net worth, and cash flow. I've seen this happen. The child has been getting this money, gets to where they don't even care how it's affecting their parents. They feel like, no, they've got enough money, even though they don't really realize what the financial situation is. Maybe making them aware of the financial situation, especially if it's a dire one, is very helpful in making them stay alert, making them get out of that comfort where they think everything's okay because mom and dad got plenty of income. They got, and they'll just take care of me. Well, who's going to take care of them when mom and dad are gone? They've essentially been given their inheritance already during life. So there's nothing left. So maybe they had a child and this child is now grown and sees the bad situation that their mom or dad were in. And now they start supporting mom or dad. That's not good. Another quick planning point here. If you've got a child that's draining your resources like this, but you have other children that are not, make sure your financial planning documents reflect that. So that you realize, you know, it can be as simple as having a promissory note that's attached with your documents that shows all the money that is owed by this particular child to the estate. Don't just give the money, loan them the money, and then have it show up on the paperwork for the estate plan so that when you pass away, that child's share does not affect, you know, they don't get equal shares of everybody else. You've already given them their money. Make sure that they are ones that will not benefit again from your passing away and get just as much money into that. So a lot of things, a lot more that we could cover that we didn't. I've got a lot of more examples that we could cover. You've got your own examples. I just encourage you to think about this and try to cut the cord because you're not doing that child any favors by continuing to support them. Quick reminder, next week, we'll be live, Talking Money Live at the TD Convention Center, May 21st, beginning at 10 o'clock. We'll stop at 11, but the fun will continue from 10 to 3. Go to cefgreenville.com to check out the big event, Spectacular, free for all the family. So those of you who have elementary school kids, especially your grandkids, let's see you there so we can see the illusionist and see the ventriloquist and get some snow cones and popcorn and have a great time next Saturday beginning at 10 o'clock. We'll see you then.